Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I am the host of this show. Our guest this evening is Gia Combs Ramanez, known as Energy on Squidoo. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. We will discuss her upcoming class called Healing the Earth, which addresses what we've come on this planet to be, to do, and to offer. Joining me now is Gia Energy. Hello, Gia. How are you?
Hi, Kate. I'm great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. You almost got my name right this time.
Oh.
It's Combs Ramirez.
Ramirez. Okay.
Ramirez.
Thank you. So, what... You are offering this beautiful class. It sounds very, very enticing.
This is a fun class. Healing the Earth, what are we here to do? It's a teleseminar webinar class, and most of the other crystalline consciousness technique classes that we offer, which I'll explain about in a second, are not. They're like three-day in-person retreats. So... it's myself and the teachers have been wanting a teleseminar class for a while, but the form was never quite there or the timing was off, and then finally this popped in. So let me just back up just a little bit and explain about crystal consciousness technique. In 2004, a metaphysical friend and I were meditating, and we thought we were preparing for a Reiki class, and the next thing we knew, this wonderful, amazing, life-changing protocol just downloaded into our awareness. It was an amazing creative act. It was really
And both
really
of you at the same time.
Well, we were working on it together. It was like this, you know, I'm getting this, and she would get that piece, and we would bring it together. And then we ran off and used it in table work. And from there, but it didn't come with a manual. So over the next 6 years, we really developed the classes, or I developed the classes mostly around it. And then everybody taught it to many people, developed the teacher's program. And it's unique. I've never run into any kind of a healing energy modality like crystalline consciousness technique. And the number one question I was always asking, though, was, well, why did it come in when it did, 2004? It was February 2004. You know, it's like, well, what significance was that? And what we're discovering now is we're getting into this time of this great shift and transformation that we're in, is that essentially what's happening is we're shifting out from being electromagnetic-based organisms, and we're becoming more crystalline energetically. And this isn't just metaphysical woo-woo. There's actual scientific data out there about the crystalline nature of our brains and the crystalline, living crystalline matrix that's made up with our cells and our connective tissue and the water in our body. And this crystalline consciousness technique works with that. All the kids that have come in the past 15, 20 years have come in with this already in place.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so it is a huge shift for us. Basically, in a nutshell, it allows people to download, just like a improved computer, download tremendous amounts of information without kind of exploding their central nervous system, so to speak. All energy holds information. So as we go through this time of shift and transformation, all this incoming energy is coming onto the planet, and our old electromagnetic systems just can't deal with it. It can't assimilate it quick enough. And so with the crystalline matrix or crystalline system in place, then that is still not a piece of cake yet, but it's much easier than just the old electromagnetic system.
Well, I understand there is such a thing as a crystalline grid that has always been in place, but is now activated by the energies that you are actually describing. That in the shift, that suddenly this grid is something we can, and it sounds like it's related to going from one energy, like the electromagnetic energy paradigm, to the crystalline energy paradigm. And so this crystalline grid is nothing more than just like the energy of love, I would say. Nothing more, nothing less.
That's very true. The crystalline grid, it's not like it's something completely unknown to us. Love itself is a vibrational frequency. I don't even consider love an emotion. It's a vibrational frequency that is, when translated into a ratio, is the golden means ratio. And the golden means ratio is the very, it's considered sacred geometry, sacred architecture, but also the DNA itself is built around the golden mean. And so, yes, love is, the vibrational frequency of love, and that ratio that is created with love is woven through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us connect better to it. It's not like we weren't there with it, but we, as humans, we've really become separate from our natural environment, including our own bodies. And yet we live in an environment that's changing, and that's and if you just think about certain trends, we've been very dependent upon like fossil fuels, for example, which is stored energy from the sun. This whole crystalline shift is going to allow us to get away from that electromagnetic foundation and be less, where we use up all our resources that are stored on the planet as a means of living. It'll just take less to sustain our bodies.
It sounds like that we would be more centered in spirit as time goes on, or even starting even before this.
I'm sorry, I'm doing a little that's an interesting way to see it. I so don't separate those. We are spirit, of course, in a biological being, and our challenge is, so the human biology has one kind of consciousness. It's very survival-oriented, and then we have our soul and its type of consciousness, and the two need to kind of fuse together there. And sometimes it's not been an easy fit, It doesn't, if you're somebody who identifies with your highly, your soul or spirit, the human biology feels clunky and dense. And if you're somebody who's very biological-based, this is kind of a fight or flight kind of a world, you or me kind of a world. So, yes, we're definitely moving into higher levels of consciousness, which then gives us the ability to find new ways to interrelate with each other. And absolutely connect deeper in with our own spiritual nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it are these energies going to reach more of a momentum, say, after the 2012 energy that people talk about all the time? Like, I had heard through certain sources that we will feel more in tune and in alignment with this crystalline grid and with this crystalline energy, say, in the mid, say, like, 2015 and on. Word.
Well, that's a really good question, one that I ask often, because I came in this through a different doorway. I came in through the doorway of this protocol or technique doing this download with us, and why me, I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, when I was floating around as a soul, I raised my hand and said, sure, I'll help to bring it in, as did my friend Lexi. And, you know, I do have little notes to soul. Next time, don't sign up for this. But that's one I'm really glad I did sign up for. So I don't have a sense of when it's going, because I'm already fully in it. And so I don't really have a sense of if you, you know, I only have one solution, you know, take a CCT class. So I'm not quite sure if the crystalline grid is going to be you know, more in place in 2015 or not. We definitely evolve kind of slowly biologically. So if you're, I call it top down, you take a CCT class and it's like you very quickly move into those energies through activations and so on, and what, and learning different techniques with it. The bottom up, which is more evolution, is very slow. I would think it would take pretty much all of this century to more fully move into place and actually be seen throughout our, you know, business structures, our governmental structures, and so on and so forth. But
well, that would make sense, seeing as how the government structures and the business structures are so rooted in the physical.
They're very rooted in the physical, and almost all of our businesses are based on electromagnetic energies, you know, which is earth-based resources, as we've known it. So the one of the things as an energy healer that I've noticed for years is that understanding your energetic nature is sort of like the last frontier for humans. You know, in the 1980s, there was that huge sort of psychological moment, and everybody's running off to with a therapist to kind of understand and know themselves better. And I'm sure the 90s had their theme, but I missed it, whatever it was. But this is the frontier, understanding your energetic nature. And to be, so what I know through years of studying energy and consciousness is that our conscious awareness is not always on the same page as our energetic selves, which has their own, its own consciousness as well. And we want to be on the same page. So when I smile at you and say, I love you, I don't want to be hitting you with my energy saying something else, right? I want it to be all,
true,
all integrated and all, you know, matching my words. So that's, that's part of what crystalline consciousness technique offers, is a very quick way to have your energy and your consciousness meet up and be on the same page. And that, you know, through spiritual studies, that can take decades of studying to become an adept at that stage. And this is done, it's done very quickly through a series of classes. So this, the new class, Healing the Earth, What Are You Here to Do, it's just for an individual to use for themselves and to be able to access those deeper levels of their purpose, of why they're here, and which is part of the creative energies, and then give them an avenue of expression that's an energetic integrity with the earth so that that can come out. And if we're all expressing from that level in alignment with the earth, ta-da, we heal the earth. It's simple but very, very profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you figure our purpose and our destiny would be very much related and connected to the earth, because this is where we live, and the earth is our home.
We are, and we're not meant to be in the new energies. I call it the new energies, you know, that which is coming in, and or new energy paradigm. And there's, you know, different people have called it different things. There's been the, you know, we're leaving the Pisces age and moving into the Aquarius age, or it's the end of the Mayan calendar, or, you know, there's different sort of names that these times have been called, but even those people who aren't aware of energy is aware of some kind of a shift occurring right now. I mean,
revolutions are just amazing.
It's pretty hard to ignore, isn't it? Like, something's up, like, you know, even if you have no idea about energy or change or shift or anything of that sort. It's pretty out there right now, but
I love it. It's a little dangerous in some ways, and in the sense that people are having, even though there's a lot of liberation involved with, say, just the example with Egypt, there are energies that have come through that have been dangerous for people. But
Do you mean in the sense of physical violence, or are you speaking?
Yeah,
in...
I mean, I was just actually reading about a CBS anchor person for 60 Minutes was actually brutally assaulted and raped the day that Mubarak stepped down, so that there was all this jubilation, and suddenly she was separated from her crew, and she was brutally beaten and sexually, probably raped. So, you know, it's like all of these energies are kind of in that situation, and then, of course, all across the Middle East, and now we're even starting to have riots here in this country. So because of the recent situation in Wisconsin, where the governor is trying to take away the labor unions, and now there are riots that are taking place there. And I can only see that people are looking for freedom. They need it. They have to have it. And that might be part of what's going on. I think that we all want it. We all need it. We all have to have it. And because that is maybe the beginnings of the expression of this shift. It's been going on for a long time, but now it's reaching. There's this momentum. There's this fast-paced time. Time doesn't exist. I realize that. But nevertheless, it is moving very fast, and things are really, really happening. But you have to be aware of it, because you're not going to hear it on the mainstream media. You're not going to hear about riots really happening here in this country unless you listen to news sources that will tell you the truth about it, because there's a lot of censorship here.
Well, the interesting thing that I've found in my crystalline consciousness technique journey is that it's almost like there's two worlds existing right now. One is the old world that's coming down. So when you talk about what was going on in Wisconsin, that's very much the old energy paradigm, or the old paradigms that are coming down.
Yeah.
And then when you shift into this, the crystalline energies, it's kind of like you look around and you're like, wow, the whole energy feels so completely different here. It does not have that sense of doom and gloom around money, or we're going to be down to survival, you know, ground zero with civilization again. It has a completely different feel to it. And it's, I hesitate to say the word protected, because obviously if you walk into the middle of a mob scene, you're not, you know, you're going to be necessarily affected by mob mentality. But those people who haven't shifted, that they're in very much a this panic over, oh my gosh, we're going to be down to the last, you know, liter of water, and we have to all fight for it for survival. It's that kind of mentality that's driving a lot of those people. So, and there are many other ways to make this shift other than just crystalline consciousness technique. This just happens to be my road, and it's the one I can talk best from. The mm-hmm. people who have taken classes with CCT and are using it, they have that same sense. It's like, it's this weird surrealness where you're like, yeah, I hear that going on, but I don't feel affected by it. It's like I'm standing in this, I'm waiting, like, come on, everybody, come on in. It's really, the view is great over here. And it's, there's a tremendous light that's crystalline by nature for those of us who energetically see in that way. And there's an expansiveness to it. And it's a completely different way to operate on the planet. Now, I've done a lot of studying of it because the technique came in and then we just went out and tried it. And what happened, you know, we just sort of observed what was our shifts and changes. And so we kind of came to know it from that way of using it. And it was only like last year, that I started to say, why? Why did it come in? Why now? And so I started to finally get that kind of information that came in. And its purpose is to help us shift into what we are going to become, but it's a lot quicker. And what's different for me is, in my view, is you've got the old world coming down, and we've had huge shifts like this on the planet before.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, civilization went back to, you know, ground level.
Like the fall of Atlantis, perhaps?
Yes, the fall of Atlantis, or when you think about even more in recent history, when the bubonic plagues swept through Europe and just, mm-hmm. you know, wiped out so much of the population of Europe, and then the Renaissance came
mm-hmm.
After that. And so, but we're not going to be rebuilding from ground zero. We're going to be, this incoming, the new paradigm, is coming in somewhat at the same rate that the old one is falling away. So it's sort of like shifting out from one to the other. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a while for people to understand, you know, if you're used to, this is my metaphor for that, is if you've been driving an old clunker car forever and then you switch out to a new Lamborghini and you get in the Lamborghini but you still drive it like the old clunker car, you're going to sort of you're not going to really utilize the new Lamborghini. And so it takes a while for people to wake up and realize, oh, things are different. There's new possibilities and potential out there. And so it's, you know, that's the stage I'm in, is to watch how that unfolds. And, oh, my goodness, it's a very chaotic world, though, to look out there. And pretty much all I can do is sort of, okay, well, what's my little piece right now? And just bring in my little piece and trust that, you know, that's enough. It's enough to make a difference.
Well, that's true. That is so true. I mean, we all have to find where we need to contribute and where we need to shine, as it were. And then we concentrate on that and hold it in our consciousness. It's almost like a constant meditation, really. Go ahead.
It is. I bought this. Sometimes I buy books just for their great titles. And I still have this one. I never read it. But the title was so great. And it's, all you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. And
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really the truth. When you're in your soul purpose or life purpose, then, and you're just bringing that forward in the best possible way that you can at any given moment, that is enough. If we're in alignment with the planet, it's enough. And it'll start sort of this snowball thing that who knows how long it might take for it to, but at least it's moving us in the right direction, right? Away from this destructive, let's use up our planet right down to its last arable piece of Earth, and it's taking us in a direction of, again, of the honoring of life and working in partnership with it. And in life itself is the sacredness of that universal energy, whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it spirit or divine source or God or goddess or whatever you want to call that. They are hand in hand with each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is a very important time, and I think that it's something that it is best to just sit back and watch, as you say, you know, instead of becoming swept away by any kind of negativity or even any kind of positivity or making assumptions or judgments, just to sit back and enjoy the ride, as it were, because really it is a wonderful time to be alive. We are so fortunate.
It's wonderful, and it's very intense. One of the challenges a lot of my clients have been having who aren't working with crystal and consciousness technique is that I just invented a name for it. I call it electromagnetic illness. The electromagnetics on the planet are fluctuating and wildly. Now, there's some conjecture that, you know, the poles are going to shift,
mm-hmm.
and which is a hard, you know, it's like, wow, my brain can't even get around that. What's that mean? The North Pole moves to the South Pole, and, you know, does the planet turn upside down, or what does that mean? It's like, I have no idea what that really means, that the poles shift, but I do know that those electromagnetic grids on the planet and the electromagnetics that come from space, including our sun, really impact us as biological beings. And when they impact us as biological beings, they also impact us as psychological beings. And
mm-hmm.
when our energy gets really out of whack, then we have meltdown. I've been working with one client. It's very difficult, very challenging with her. She literally feels, took me a long time to figure out what was going on for her. She literally has the sensations of, you know, most of us experience the planet as stable, as still. But she can literally, she's so sensitized that she can feel the motion of the planet as it turns and as it revolves and then as it rotates around the sun. And she gets these rolling waves through her energy field, which has
mm-hmm.
pretty much got her non-functioning in, you know, to be able to then go out and buy a loaf of bread and, you know.
So I bet she can't hold down a job or anything.
And she's temporarily not doing that. So it's been, and a lot of people have that, but they don't necessarily know what to call it. If their energy field around them collapses, then we start to have problems with our own, our organs start to fail. We have all kinds of problems that happen for us internally because of the importance of, it's like if Earth were to lose its atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
then we are bombarded by all kinds of things and, you know, the sun would be too hot and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So that's some of the challenges that we have as being energetic beings on the planet. And almost everything that people come to me for anymore, I put in the context of, is this because of the transformation that we're in? And 98% of the time it is. So
yes.
There's a lot of balancing and stabilizing going along. Takes a tremendous amount of work to those people who aren't aware. It's like, bless you, keep the curtain
mm-hmm.
closed and don't open them, you know. Although I think we're all becoming more intuitive, We're becoming more energetically sensitive. I think everybody's moving in that direction.
Yes, I think so. I think so. I mean, I find that I have more meaningful conversations with more people than I ever had in my whole entire life. And then people don't look at me as being odd, or maybe they do. Nevertheless, they are more accepting of me now in my life, and maybe it's just because I'm more accepting of myself.
I totally get what you're saying. It's the strangest thing. I have growing up in Montana, by the way, is wow. You just never quite envision yourself being the person who talks to guides. And you know, my big dream was to become a rancher's wife. That was the sum total of my being able to figure out what my life is going to be. So I have these very Montanan brothers. One's a lawyer and one's a banker. And they, you know, they're not exactly walking in this world that I walk in. And on Facebook the other day, I posted something on there about something that the Dalai Lama had said. And my banker brother says, he comes in with a comment. I didn't even hardly see him on Facebook, and he comes in with this comment that he's been in an elevator with the chief CFO of the Dalai Lama's organization, and they had this great big metaphysical conversation riding down in the elevator one day, and I was like, oh my gosh.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's the end of the world as we know it, you know. And I do think people are paying attention to who are they spiritually and what is that, you know, in their lives and how is that manifesting. And it's...
Speaking of the Dalai Lama, somebody like that, and many people who are spiritual beings, high spiritual beings like that, have done more to save the planet than we even know, just because of their high vibrational fields.
Okay, so you're saying that just their presence is making a difference. Absolutely. That is one of the premises of being able to be extremely spiritually developed and aware, is that your energy, right, that your energy holds this greater vibrational frequency, which then helps others move. For life to be whole and healthy, we need to have higher levels of vibrational frequency. If we're losing vibration, we're headed, you know, in the opposite direction. And people, the wonderful spiritually enlightened masters that are living right now in this time, absolutely, they're helping to balance and stabilize this whole planet experience that we're having.
It's a beautiful example to have, you know, the beautiful example of your brother coming up with that. But that just, you know, it exemplifies that whole thing.
Very much so. I just think, though, that more and more people, you know, the so-called 2012 phenomena, which is certainly a head-scratcher. You know, it's one thing to predict, there's going to be apocalyptic things happening, and then to actually have the experience of that, there's a big difference in them. And my example is, all of the predictions at the end of the 1990s about the Y2K event, which nothing really happened, and then a year later was literally the end of the world when the World Trade Center's buildings came down. That was the end of the world, and nobody commented on it much, but I was like, yeah, that was an apocalyptic moment, you know.
That's a good point.
Who could have ever foreseen that, you know, something like that happening of that magnitude? And then the change that's brought to our lives on so many levels. So I don't know what 2012 is going to bring. Myself, I don't think it's going to be a World Trade Center kind of a moment, thank heavens.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be something more subtle, just a shift, you know, a crossing of a midline, and a turning point. And then someday we'll look back and go, oh, look, from that point on, there was this new, like a breath of fresh air that came onto the planet.
Yes. And time, don't you think time is changing? The people's concepts of time, that people talk about time speeding up and so forth, and even young people today, when I was young, I felt that time was really slow. But now young people feel like time is very fast, just like we do. I find that to be very unusual.
Kate, when you were young, was that when was that? Were the dinosaurs still walking on the planet? Like when...
Well, I'm almost 60, so I'm very excited about that.
You've just been coming through your second Saturn return.
Yeah. It's a good time. But when I was very young, I did think time was very slow. And then when you talk to young people today, they think it's very fast. I think that's very interesting.
That is interesting. And there's actually some scientific data out there that time is speeding up. Now, I can't quite get my head around it. It's like, what does that mean? The Earth is spinning faster? You know, it's taking less time than 24 hours to make one revolution? I don't know what that means.
Or is it a perception? Everybody's perception is now on the same page, and there's no difference between, you know, being young and being old, and we're all the same age. Somehow, I mean, I think everything is changing paradigm-wise with so many people actually hitting 60 at the same time on this planet, and then the ageism in this society. It's all going to change. We have the ability, our generation, to really change the way people view old people. And not the 60 years old, but as we all get older together, we can change the way the world looks at that. And we can, you know, garner respect. And we can have people really look at it in a way that's completely enlightened, I think.
Well, I'm in complete agreement with you there. I'm kind of thinking that when the baby boomers get done with this period in their life, it will be very different. We've always been a generation that has challenged, you know, the status quo. And it started, you know, if you think back to the 60s, and then there was the 70s and the feminist movement, and we just marched right along. My father's generation, what do they call them, the last great generation,
Yeah.
I had this really interesting energy read of them, that they were the ones, you know, that came through some of them World War One, a lot of them World War Two, and that period of time, and that they were the great defenders of the planet, and they wanted to ensure that a World War II event was never going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the generation that's passing. A lot of them are transitioning during this period of time, and I've almost seen it as a way to help the energy shift, because, boy, they really held a very strong energy on the planet, and as they exit, then this new energy can come in even more strongly.
But there was really a generation gap between us and them, and the generation gaps are disappearing, I think. And guess what? The real generation gap that disappears is when people... and the next generation get to be our age, they will not have any kind of problems with the internet or with computers. and neither will the young people, so there won't be that generation gap because a lot of people our age really hate computers. It's not something you and I can necessarily relate to, but there are just a lot of people who are so afraid of computers, and they'll even quit their job as everything goes to completely computerized. In my profession, for instance, as a nurse, we're about to go with computer charting, and there's a lot of older nurses who are just petrified of that. They could even quit, which is a shame because it's a wonderful experience with helping people.
Well, thank you. You brought that was a perfect lead back into developing a crystalline energy field and a crystalline consciousness, because your ability to learn increases, and it's like I said, an upgrade on a computer where you get, you know, if you're working off of a computer that's, I don't know, 5 to 10 years old, they're considered so slow and they don't have much room in there for a lot of information. And the computers now are just absolutely amazing at how fast they will download, upload, store information. And we're the same way. We need to be able to update ourselves, upgrade ourselves, so that we can assimilate new ways of being. And my solution to everybody, of course, is take crystalline consciousness technique, because it does allow you to more quickly learn something new like that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I would love to take that class. I will have to wait, though, but that's okay because there's no time. Everything will happen in its own good time. But that does sound fascinating to me. I would love that class. Yes.
That's right. In right timing. It's not like this is the only time that the class is ever going to be offered, which, by the way, is in March 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's might be listening or will be listening later to this, I have all the information on my website, scienceofenergyhealing.com, so they can go there and get it. So, yeah, one of the startling things for me working with people who have taken crystalline consciousness technique is that you and I are consciously talking, but we're also energetically talking. And there's the rate of exchange between us energetically is dramatically different if you had, say, taken a CCT class. We would be exchanging copious amounts of information. As it is, it's like your energetic self is able to take in a little bit, and this is true with everybody. When I work with someone who's taken a CCT class, it's like I can give them the whole, you know, entire, it's like the difference between a book and an entire encyclopedia of mm-hmm. information that can be exchanged energetically. So we have to be careful in the old selves that we don't have so much information, which is also energy, come in that it fries our central nervous system or any of the other systems in the body that is their job. You know, the brain, it's got to be able to continue to create order and organization out of the information. So I am particularly intrigued by what we can do with new levels of consciousness, and whether it's a unity consciousness or whether it's in the case that I'm studying crystalline consciousness, that's my edge of exploration.
Yes, there is a caller on the line. Let's see if they would like to say something. Hang on. Oops, I guess. Hello there. How are you this evening? Do you have something you would like to say? And if not, I will just mute you. You're probably just listening, and that's fine. Somebody's very shy. They They're not talking. Anyway, that is an assumption that I probably shouldn't make. But anyway, yeah, it probably helps to with your ability to communicate with people if they've taken your class is what I'm getting there with. I mean, in the sense that you're all talking the same language.
It isn't just talking the same language. It's actually this ability that we have. So right now you have an energetic self and I have an energetic self, and they are communing as we are consciously, and it's the same thing with any listener. And we get, I don't know if you've ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden you have this amazing insight or the light bulb moment that goes off. That's because you receive some kind of information energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And then it travels through all the different ways that it travels from the subconscious into your conscious awareness, and there's that, the connecting of all the dots, and all of a sudden your brain makes this great leap in understanding. This is actually a proven thing. Kids learn in a lot of instances, kids learn better within groups, because if a certain amount of a group gets a concept, you know, the whole 100th monkey syndrome, then it leaps into others' awareness that are in the same class. And crystalline consciousness technique works with those sort of natural built-in factors, but just in a little more conscious way, so that we can be in unified fields of energy, we can feel connected, we can communicate more clearly, all of those great things when we're just being humans at our best instead of the downside of, you know, when you think of it. I don't know if you got to see last Christmas, there were the videos that were circulating where people were doing the so-called spontaneous singing of Hallelujah in Macy's in New York. And there were like 600 different choirs, 600 different people from all these different choirs that just, they made it look like they were just all standing around in Macy's. And then they burst into song, singing Hallelujah. And it's so amazing to see. That's the height of how we can be in a unified field. And then the mob mentality where you get drug off and beat up in a mob, that's, you know, the complete end of the spectrum. And we...
Well, it seems like that situation there has all the spectrums going on. And the Egyptian situation, it's all kind of mixed together.
It was. Weird. There was an amazing, yes, there was the violence there, but the numbers of people that were there that weren't.
I know. Yeah.
That was pretty incredible in itself, too. So,
that's
from
so
a bird's
exciting.
Eye.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff.
I have a
such
friend
beautiful.
Who.
Aren't they beautiful people? Oh, my gosh, just gorgeous people. The Egyptians.
Very much so.
And also the way they would all fall down and pray at certain times of the day, unbelievable energy.
Very passionate.
Yes.
Very passionate.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just saying I had a friend who's a crystalline consciousness technique teacher, and she went with another group of spiritual people last June, and they did all these ceremonies in and around some of the sacred places of Egypt.
Yes.
And those kinds of things raise awareness, and from that comes something new.
That's right. That's right. And now the energy in those parts of the world will be even more profound, I think.
It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds from there.
It really will.
You've had your own little miracle in your life just recently.
Yes, I did. Oh, my gosh. And I assume you're talking about Ulysses, my dog.
Yes,
Ulysses.
I am.
That was and still is evolving. He really almost died totally. He was on death's door, and we could have taken him to be put down, but since he wasn't in any pain, I figured we could just sit with him for a few days and see if he made a decision to stay or to leave. And he has made a dramatic turnaround. He still has some, I would say, obstacles to overcome in his illness because he has cancer. But it seems like his tumor is shrinking, and day by day, you know, the obstacles that occur, that we can deal with them. We're dealing with them. And on an energetic level, too. You know, and it's very, very profound from that standpoint, the energy of healing that is taking place in this situation. Really powerful.
Yeah, we went from saying goodbye to him to, like, the resurrection of...
of Ulysses.
I was like, wow, Easter came early. It's great.
I think that there's... we had an astrologer. I have every month, my friend, I call her Astrology's Astrologer, came on the show, and she did the chart of Ulysses and myself. She also did the chart of Gabby Giffords and her husband, astronaut Kelly, and then another similar kind of situation of healing. Now, you know, all these things are a resurrection, with Gabriella Giffords being shot and being able to talk. That's a miracle. But what she found between all of these charts, myself and Ulysses and Gabrielle Giffords and her husband, and another chart, was that we had this, but all had the same exact configuration of a spontaneous healing in each of these three charts that she did, which I almost fell over. I mean, I thought that was far out. And, I mean, I loved that whole situation in Tucson when, I mean, I didn't love that situation in Tucson, but I'm saying that the way she has recovered is absolutely astonishing. But it also seems like the way Ulysses is recovering is equally as astonishing, and I'm not really surprised that there would be a similar astrological configuration in both of our charts, in each of our charts.
That is fascinating. I would never even think to... It's like scientists looking in the DNA, you know, for the answer. And it's like, oh, an astrologer, of course they go and look at the charts.
Yes. Well, I think she sort of stumbled upon this configuration. I mean, she and I are very close friends. She lives here in the town. And this whole thing with Ulysses is extremely unusual. And she already had the chart of Ulysses, and she has my chart, and so she looked at that. And, of course, she was profoundly influenced by what happened in Tucson, so she was looking at those charts. And there it was, spontaneous healing. Amazing.
So an energy healer, where I go with that is, if one person can replicate that, it's possible for others through intent to sort of align their own planets, so to speak, and be able to utilize that in a way so that it be, you know, it's like the first person who spontaneously created fire, and then you consciously sort of study that, and then pretty soon everybody can, you know, start a fire on the planet, right? And
yeah,
it's the same thing. Astrology isn't, oh, well, the planets are where the planets are. That's my view. I'm not a trained astrologer, but that's my particular view about astrology, is that you can learn and work with those energies in a way to help create a spontaneous healing. That's very exciting. I love that.
Yes, and I agree with that, because I thought, well, why limit it to that particular planetary configuration? Why not? Because of the energy of that kind of healing and that kind of recovery of, say, Gabriella Giffords, and not to mention Ulysses, that, for instance, when I was given the diagnosis of cancer of Ulysses, what happened to my other dog, Macunda, a year before was when I received the diagnosis of cancer in that dog, I kind of I felt my energy cave. But in this instance, because it was 9 months later, I defied the diagnosis of cancer. That was the first thing that happened. I defied it. I wasn't going to cave. I wasn't going to let my energy sort of evaporate into mourning and grieving and woe is me, because, you know, I love these dogs so much. So the first thing that happened was defying the diagnosis. And in that and I wrote about it in my prayer blog, and then my friend Amy, the All About Energy Amy Flynn, said, well, I have something that will help him, which is a mineral. And then so you couple the mineral, you couple the information that comes in, people helping with their information, and then all of the meditation and the energy and the angels and the unseen forces all kind of conspiring together. It can happen to anyone, and I do believe the same thing, that it doesn't have to be some sort of one degree that of a planetary chart that is the only way that something like this could happen, is if that happens. This is impossible. And I think you have to, you know, you don't cave in to a diagnosis. If you want healing to occur, you do not cave in. You do not accept the allopathic bad news kind of stuff that comes from doctors and you basically, or veterinarians for that matter, and you rise up to take to seize the day and create your own healing.
That's fabulous, Kate. That's just, you're so absolutely correct about standing in, empowered in your own sense of what is possible and what is, what we're capable of doing. So,
right.
That it's, I love that story of how you've kind of shown that and demonstrated that in your own life working with Ulysses, and then shared it all with us on Facebook. So,
and also there's that Ulysses, this, no, it's called Story of Ulysses on Squidoo. Take a look at that. I just got a purple star today. It's called Story-of-Ulysses. That's all it is. Well, you know, www.squidoo.com/story-of-Ulysses, and the whole story is there in one after another, one prayer after another that I wrote on the prayer blog. I mean, his story isn't finished, and nobody's is, but he is getting better, and I am able to, he's just an amazing creature. He's just so full of spunk. He's acting like a puppy again. Anyway, I see that the time has come where you have to go to your other radio show.
I do. It's a program that I do called Living in Crystalline Consciousness, and basically we're balancing and stabilizing as we move through these times. So
yes, yes.
I'm going to go do that. Thank you for sharing the story of Ulysses with me. It's so heartwarming, the way you approached it, and also thank you for letting me come on your radio show and talk.
You know what? It was really fun. It was really fun to have you. And it highlights for me the kind of thing I like having on the show is not asking you questions or interrogating you or anything like that, but having a free flow of discussion and ideas. This is exactly what I love. So thank you so much. And we'll see each other again on Squidoo and on Facebook. And have a great radio show.
Thank you, Kate. I'll talk with you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And I'm going to be playing music for Mother and Child, Klaus D. Jensen.